Sid Ims, Fletch, Vaughn, and Megan. The podcast.
Morning. Thank you, Anya.
Interesting. Interesting times to be in Australia. I mean, decades behind everywhere else, but
it's getting there.
Interesting
getting
time.
There.
Yeah. And the good news is, if we take those refugees, they're actually going to have to live in New Zealand with the people who have said terrible things about refugees publicly.
Right.
On That's the punishment for just speaking in horrific generalizations about people who have come from war torn countries.
You mentioned the races, Anya.
Mm-hmm.
I saw some people being arrested before even getting into the races on the news last night. And there was even a boob they had to blur out.
They had to blur a boob.
They had to blur a boob. I was like, wow, there's someone's mum watching that.
On the way
time
in.
Was the boob out?
Was it a brunch boob?
Well, brunch-ish. I'm imagining it was up to the fact that the news cameras were there and then they had to leave to edit for the 5:30 news. God. So
it could have been an after tea titty.
Could have been, you sure?
Rather than a brunchy boob. God, really?
Amazing. Yeah. I haven't seen as many photos as I have in the past years, though.
Are we becoming slightly more onto it with criminalising ourselves with these sorts of this sort of evidence on social media, though?
Is everybody? Oh, yeah, maybe.
Pulling back.
And seeing the cameras and walking the
Wants
other way.
Wants to keep their jobs.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. Well, Jason PJ were there yesterday and I saw some raucous behaviour on their behalf. So I don't know who won their $1,000 for the $1,000
handshake. I saw a photo, they gave that away.
But if you missed out, on Saturday we're going to be at the Saturday races with a $2,000?
Yeah, we've got a $2,000 wad of cash.
Yeah, and we're going to be giving away $20 at a time in a little game of Paper, Scissors, Rock. All you've got to do is beat us at Paper, Scissors, Rock and you can have $20.
How many games is that?
$100. 100 wins.
Okay.
100 wins.
So we might end up playing like 200 times.
Yeah.
If we win.
Yeah.
If we have a good win rate.
Well, that'd be 50-50, yeah.
Okay.
And I've been reading Paper, Scissors, Rock's theories.
Oh, yeah? Really? What, to beat people?
The kids are apparently really good at Paper, Scissors, Rock.
Why?
Because they don't adhere to any patterns. Whereas if you play Paper, Scissors, Rock against an adult enough, they start to think in patterns. Whereas kids are just so sporadic that there's no...
Right.
They're very unpredictable.
So you're saying I need to take a kid to the casino for the roulette? Because I'm always like, red, black.
Roulette's not Paper, Scissors, Rock.
Oh,
but again, a random... And you can't take kids to the casino.
Oh,
trust me, every time we walk past to go to the burger joint in there, the girls are like, can we play those grown-up games? I'm like, not for another 15 years.
You lot, listen up. It's story time.
Three news headlines. Vaughn and Megan must pick one headline. Headline one, parents upset over homework. Headline two, love triangle on road ends badly. And headline three, police warning over arts and crafts.
What was it? Love triangle on a road ends badly.
Yeah.
Were people run over, were they?
So maybe, Vaughn. Yes, maybe.
Oh, dear.
What was the police artwork ends badly?
No, police warning over arts and crafts. And
oh, right.
Headline one, parents upset over homework.
Parents upset over homework. Is it too hard?
Were they upset that they got it?
I can remember the time at high school we got to a point of maths and stuff where my parents couldn't help anymore. And mum was like, well, this is just bullshit.
I think I would be at that period, at that point when they first brought home maths homework. Like, the calculator.
Yeah, I don't know. Do we still have that scientific calculator? Which are just as hard to use.
Story.
Homework.
Story.
Yeah.
One, you want the homework?
Yeah.
All right, we go to Virginia and Hopewell in Virginia, America. And school assignment has parents demanding answers. Kids were sent home with a worksheet and they had to fill it in. It was like a family quiz. First question, what do you call the father of your father?
Your grandfather.
Yeah, so it's one of these things. Like, you know, what do you call the daughter of your sister?
Your niece.
What do you call the wife of your brother?
The wife
of your brother.
Your brother.
Sister-in-law.
Yeah, what do you call the woman you are divorced from?
Your ex-wife.
Yeah. What do you call a woman whose husband has died?
Widower.
Yeah.
Widow.
Widow. Yeah. This is where...
A widower is when the woman dies, eh?
Now, I don't know if they needed, because they've got an, this is on an A4 piece of paper. I don't know if the teacher needed to fill in the last four boxes.
Right.
But this is where parents start demanding
these
answers.
These last four.
In the quiz. Go all on. Up there are 20. Very similar to the ones I've just given you. Question 17. What do you call it when a married person has a relationship with someone else?
An affair.
Yes. Question 18. What do you call a married man's girlfriend?
A mistress.
Yes.
This is great.
Question 19. What do you call the much younger boyfriend of an older woman?
A toy boy.
Yes. Question 20. What do you call the much younger and beautiful wife of an older, wealthy man?
Sugar baby?
Much younger.
These parents or this kid has put in trophy wife.
Good answer, kid.
Good answer. So middle school. So that's like intermediate age children. So I don't know, 10, 11, 12?
Yep.
Good Lord.
And so parents are a bit like,
Do you know who complained? The dad who had an affair and had a mistress and sat down at his homework as a family. And when that question came up, his wife was like, yes, why don't you ask your father? What that's called.
But so, those are official terms up until a point, and then you're teaching kids and that it's not okay to have like a younger...
Your issue is the negative connotation attached.
With the trophy so wife and the toy boy.
Right.
Like, we're past that. Come on. Aren't we?
Someone wants us to be past it. Someone's really pushing everybody to be past it.
I don't have a problem with it. Yeah, but I mean, you're teaching kids that it's wrong.
You're teaching them society's labels for things.
Yeah, rather than official terms for things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you prefer over toy boy? Just husband to be, fiancé.
Oh, well, I don't care so much.
This raises an issue, though, in 2018, Vaughn.
Yep.
What do we call Andrew after the marriage? Still toy boy, eh?
It's kind of his name now.
Yeah.
What about Mr. Toy Boy?
I always find it weird.
Mr. Toy Boy.
Yes. Mr. Toy Boy. Pappas.
Papadopoulos. Megan Papadopoulos.
TB Papadopoulos.
I like it.
Me too. That was great. That was a great brainstorm for a new title.
Okay, we'll start using that in 2018.
In Australia, they made what can only be classed in 2017 and probably even 2016. And I'd say going forth from here on out, as a stupid mistake.
Okay.
They opened up the naming of a new ferry to the public. And you can see where this is going. In light of Tracy McTrain face, Bodie McBoat face.
Ferry McFerry face.
Actually happened.
Yep.
Oh,
they've announced the final ferry in the new fleet will be named Ferry McFerry face.
Not funny anymore.
I thought we were done, but we're not. Apparently we're not. People aren't happy about it.
We're in Sydney.
Yeah, so the Sydney ferries. I love the Sydney ferries.
I love
the old looking ones. I realise some people think boats should be more modern, but there's quite nice about jumping on an old one that chugs out heaps of smoke and looks real old and got wooden seats.
And it's a bit of a, like, if you go into Sydney and doing the tourist thing, it's a bit of a way around, like, doing a cruisy tour of the harbour. You just get on the ferry.
And you go out to Tauranga Zoo and you see most of the harbour on the way out there.
But that's the trouble, is like lots of tourists who might not understand the reference are going to be like, why is your ferry called that?
But around the world, there's been like most countries would have something McSomething face somewhere or have heard about it. But the transport minister is under a little bit of flack from the Maritime Union of Australia. A guy called Paul went on the radio and he is furious with the transport minister. I'd imagine it where he spoke something like this. He's demonstrating here that he treats public transport as a joke. He's taking the absolute piss out of the public transport in the state of New South Wales.
Oh, no.
Sydney Ferries had an iconic history in the harbour and are named after beaches and Olympians and things. The workers are furious. Apparently nobody wants to work on...
Nobody wants
Ferry McFerry face because they feel like people are just going to be getting on. It's going to be the larrikin ferry. It's going to be the ferry for... people who like taking the mick. And they're not going to be taking ferries seriously.
So they can just not turn up to work on that ferry? Well, is that a thing?
I think they're planning on like a strike maybe.
Is its name like really obvious on the side of the
boat? Yeah, so they write them up the front. It's ordered and everything and they've named them by public vote.
But it hasn't actually been...
No, but if you know how they are... what's the colour there at the top? Like a yellowy, beigey situation. And then down the bottom, they're green. On the hull of the green, they write it in white up the front. Like, it's known after Olympians and famous people. Some of the other options... some of the other ones that were named were named after famous doctors that have really advanced Australian their fields in Australia. Victor Chan, Catherine Hamill, Fred Hollows, the eye guy. They all got ferries named after them. so when they launch these new ferries, Ferry McFerryface will be amongst them. And the people who work on the ferries not happy about it. I think it would be... the fun ferry. You're like, people would want to take Ferry McFerryface. You'd almost be disappointed if it pulled it in and it wasn't Ferry McFerryface.
But then you could see why the workers, because people like you get all excited. Maybe you buy a vodka cruiser on board and you get a bit silly.
I'm a Bacardi Breezer guy when I'm at sea. I'm a vodka cruiser guy when I'm on dry land. But when I'm at sea, primarily Bacardi Breezers to pay homage to the pirates of the Caribbean.
Who used to love
Bacardi and white rums. Yeah. Yes, correct.
Fletch, Vaughn and Megan.
The podcast. There is a list of controversial band baby names from around the world. Now, you would assume that these are banned because someone tried to name their child this.
Yeah, because there are certain things you're not allowed to name them. You're not
in New Zealand, and I think any Commonwealth country, there's a rule against naming them of a military rank or a title by birth, like Lord or Duke.
Kim Kardashian's son Saint couldn't be named Saint here. Right?
No, that's true. Yeah.
Only in America.
Yeah.
Do you want to? There is one on here that's from New Zealand. Do you want to guess what it is?
Well, it's got to be like obscene, right?
It's not obscene. It's probably inappropriate.
Oh, no.
I can't imagine that anyone would really want to.
No, I don't know what we've done, because it always disheartens me that these people are having children, and children are supposed to be like a wonderful gift that you cherish and change your point of view on life.
I feel like some people might have heard this name and gone, oh, that's cool, not really knowing what it was.
Oh, right. Is it like a Nazi?
No.
That's good. Good.
What is it?
So in Switzerland and New Zealand, you're not allowed to name your child Lucifer.
Oh,
the name of the
Do you reckon they bought some of those fire lighters and they're like, Lucifer. Little Lucifer. That's such a cute little name. I can call her Lucy for short.
Yeah. So
Lucifer was the name?
In New Zealand.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
That's not bad.
Now, was Benson and Hedges, the twins that were named, was that a New Zealand thing or a British thing?
No, it was New Zealand. People just told us about it.
Okay.
You know,
and there was Black and Decker, Harley and Davidson.
There's lots.
Yeah. There's lots of brand names that people feel so passionately about, rather than just getting a tattoo on their own body to, you know, sentence themselves to a lifelong, what was I thinking? They named their bloody kids it instead.
I've just Googled, it was Benson and Hedges.
Yeah, but individually, Benson's quite cute.
Also, somebody in New Zealand...
for a dog.
Hedges, not so much.
Someone in New Zealand tried to name their kid number 16 Bus Shelter.
Oh, we know why.
They should be put down for that, eh? That's just...
Oh, my God.
Wow. Okay, so around the world, in France, of all places...
Were they conceived in number 16 bus shelter or delivered there?
Conceived or delivered.
It's got to be one of the two, right?
Yeah.
So in France, you can't call your child Prince William. Like that whole... And I don't know why France, because they hate England or something.
No, but they also historically had a royal structure.
Right.
Right, okay.
Germany, there's a couple here. Osama bin Laden or Adolf Hitler.
Fair enough.
Goes without saying.
Fair enough.
Fair enough.
In Sweden, you can't call your kid Elvis.
In Sweden?
There's no explanation for these either.
They just banned. These are names that they've turned down and banned.
You cannot call your kid Elvis in Sweden. in Sweden, also Metallica. Obviously got something against music.
I'm surprised my brother didn't name one of his kids Metallica.
Middle names? Have you checked the middle names?
Definitely not, no.
Mexico is the best. There's a few here from Mexico. Rambo. Batman.
Fair enough.
Facebook.
Facebook. Hi, good. I'm Facebook.
Hi, I'm Facebook.
Uh-huh.
I feel like some of these just go without saying. Malaysia.
That's a nice name.
No. Malaysia is sexual intercourse.
It's because they speak Malaysian and they just hear words in English. And it kind of... Maybe it sounds nice to us because it's a lovely thing to engage in, but it also has got like the s and the x, like the x is sexual, it rolls quite well, doesn't it?
What about in Malaysia as well? They've had to ban smelly head.
smelly kids. Well, because the baby came out and they were like, smelly.
Oh, no, again, I think it's just an English translation issue.
Yeah. Right. Switzerland, again, not allowed to call them Judas.
Okay.
Angel in Saudi Arabia. I really want to know why for some of these.
A lot of girls called Angel.
I'm kind of background researching over here.
Yeah.
The Elvis thing. And apart from Sweden apparently started regulating the names in the early 20th century because they were like, yeah, people are starting to do like royal titles and stuff to, you know, try to get people over.
Yeah.
But there's no like specific reason for Elvis, but Metallica, Superman, Veranda, IKEA and Elvis are all
IKEA.
Banned.
Oh my God.
You're allowed Google as a middle name and Lego has been someone's first name.
Wow.
Lego.
Oh. So weird.
Also, my favourite is you're not allowed to call your kid Nutella in France. Just confusing. Just, I love Nutella over there.
Hassan Nutella, Nutella.
Yeah.
FEM.
There is a program within the Barbie empire called the Barbie Shero program. Now, this isn't your standard thin Barbie who puts value on material items, a hot boyfriend and a pink Corvette. The Shero dolls and the program on a woman who break ground. World firsts and break boundaries to inspire the next generation of girls.
These aren't official Barbies. Are they recycled?
They're like collector's Barbies.
Right.
And I guess there's a limited run of them for people. It's not just you pull your head off it and cut its hair and chuck it in the bin
but
Barbie.
Sold by who are the people?
Yeah, Mattel.
Mattel.
Yeah,
okay.
Official Mattel. It's okay. Just the Shero program. Falling under that is Shero's, by the way, if you hadn't picked up, is like She-Hero.
Oh, right, okay.
I don't know if I enunciated that correctly.
You didn't have Barbies,
She-Hero.
Did you? I had a Cindy.
Ooh.
That's like we've talked about Toro v Lego.
Yeah.
Toro to Lego was Cindy
was
to
bigger
Barbie.
And her head came off quite easy.
Very easily. As I recall, my sister's Cindy never went on again properly.
Yeah.
So the Shero set has a few people involved in it already. And the latest to join that is American medal winning fencer and also, correct me, I'm going to do my best to say this, Hajib?
The headscarf, Hajib-wearing
Olympian, Ibiza Muhammad, who participated as the first Hajib-wearing American Olympian.
Right.
She was the first person to represent America at the Olympics and wear one of these. She's a fencer, so they're the fancy sword people.
Right. So this will be the first Barbie with a Hajib.
Correct.
Right.
Of any of the Barbie franchises.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Because, correct me if I'm wrong, but this is even beating Barbie with dreadlocks. There's no Barbie with dreads, is there?
I don't know.
You know what?
Malibu Barbie have dreads?
My sister's one did, but that was just because appropriation.
Appropriation.
But also appreciation.
Yeah.
So, no, I don't believe there's a Barbie with dreadlocks. Huh. My sister's Malibu Barbie had one, but that was just because she was grim and got like jelly in her hair and peanut butter and never washed it and stuff. Not only she's wearing a hijab, she's also modeled on her actual body type.
Right.
And one of the things about being a fencer is you need strong legs for lunging and pulling back and parrying.
Is it a parry and a dodge?
Oh, I don't know.
Are you talking about fencing?
Fencing,
I
don't know. You need the strong legs to do it.
Right.
Yeah.
Does it come with a fencing stick, a sword?
Yep.
And a helmet and everything.
Yep.
It's good.
How sharp's the sword? Because I'm thinking about fights with the brother or other siblings.
It's not the strength of the sword that I believe is the issue. It's the thinness of the sword.
It's very thin.
You know how, like, when something's thin, even if it's not that sharp, it'll go in? Like, you straighten out a staple.
Yeah.
And it's not sharp on the end.
No.
It's blunt. But if you hit that with a bit of force, like between your finger and your fingernail, it'll slip right in there and cause an extreme amount of pain and undernail bleeding. That's happened by mistake. Because now we get the book sent home from school.
Yep.
And they get a bit, so you try to put a new staple in it and you got to take out the old staple. You know how you put your fingernail under an old staple and you bend it up and that'll slip up under the nail.
Wow.
That's why that was staple was the first thing that popped in my head when I thought, not sharp, but thin and quite strong. That's a Barbie first.
The top six with Vaughn Smith.
Hello, welcome to the top six. Today, we're learning, and I'll be very interested to follow these developments throughout the day, that Winston Peters might be going to North Korea.
So several reports that he has held top secret meetings with the United States.
Yes.
Rex Tillerson, who's he, the Secretary of Defense?
He was the guy that came here, yeah.
The US Secretary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So all signs pointing towards when this has happened previously that the person then goes to North Korea to try to sort some stuff out, political commentators.
Are you
Winston effing Peters?
This can't be true, surely.
Why did we choose him?
Because he's our foreign affairs. He's our foreign affairs. That's what he bargained with. He's got a lot of experience. He's done it before. He might do okay.
Doesn't he claim to be able to get along with everyone?
Or no one, which is equally as important.
Okay.
Number six on today's top six of the top six things Winston Peters will get up to in North Korea. Number six. Ask them where the St. Pierre's sushi shop is. Different Asian country, Winston, and St. Pierre's is a New Zealand sushi shop. Oh, God, we've sent a 72-year-old to North Korea. Number five on the list, call Kim Jong-un. Kim Jong-un, unbelievably hard to deal with. Number four on the list, ask where you can get a few bintangs and a cheap suit made. Wrong Asian country, Winston. Do they have beer in North Korea? Do they have alcohol and stuff?
Oh, I don't know. Probably Kim Jong would, but I don't know if the plebs would.
No, He wouldn't let them have alcohol. They'd get drunk.
I'd have my own alcohol shop. And again, I'd use the unbelievable, but Kim Jong, unbelievably low prices. Number three on the list of the top six things Winston Peters will get up to in North Korea. Exclaim, Korea Day. I thought you said Korea Day. Get me out of here. I'm 72.
I wanted to be an electrician.
Yeah. I thought you wanted me to go and talk at a Korea Day or Expo. Oh, God. Number two on the list of the top six things Winston Peters will get up to in North Korea. He could go full James Bond and disestablish the nuclear arms programs. Jokes! He's 72 years old. He'll probably nod off for a few hours after he sits down to just rest his eyes for a minute.
That's what old people do.
My dad started doing it.
Yeah.
He's in the lazy boy and you see him. I'm just going to rest my eyes for a minute.
Yeah.
And then he's like. And granted, he still gets up at 4 o'clock every morning and milks cows and works far harder than I ever have at the age of 61. So he deserves a few minutes.
He does.
It's probably the best we can hope for with Winston is he just falls
nods
asleep.
Nods off.
Nothing happens.
Wakes up 2 weeks later, he's like, what's happened? And the number one thing Winston Peters will get up to in North Korea, he'll pull up to the demilitarized zone on the South Korean side of the border. Roll up his sleeves and say, you kids wait in the bloody car. I'll be back in a minute. I've just got to go sort something. And then he'll leave the keys in there so the kids can listen to the radio. That's today's top six.
FM. Yesterday, okay, this is what I wanted to talk about. I was in a sports store.
That shall remain
nameless. I was doing Christmas shopping.
Were you?
I got a voucher because my brother wants this voucher. Because I asked my family, like, what do you want? Because then I don't buy them something that they don't want.
Uh-huh.
Like that time I re-gifted my mum an Akoya candle and she didn't use it for like 2 years.
But mums don't like candles willy-nilly.
Burn the house down.
Yeah, they scare them for special occasions.
Yeah, they're like, it smells too nice. I don't want to use it.
I've got the Glade plug-in in. I don't need it right now, but I've got the Judith and Steve coming over later in the week. I'll light it for 20 minutes before they get here.
I took it back. I was like, I'll use this.
I was going to say, does your mum just take the lid off it and go, that's enough, I can smell
it. So you re-gifted then ungifted.
Yeah, basically.
Unbelievable.
This is why I ask them what they want, that I'm not wasting, because this is why my big thing with presents, it's just people buy all this crap that you don't need.
I'm 100% on board with that.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm in the store and I'm getting this thing and this lady next to me says to the other guy behind the counter, are you the manager?
Oh, she's got words.
I've got a problem.
Yeah.
And I'm like, instantly I'm like, bing! Ears prick up and I'm
always
like, this will be good.
Lingering.
This is always good when someone says, who's the manager? I need to speak to the manager. She's like, and backstory for those that aren't in Auckland yesterday, a lot of heavy rain, downpours, like 600 thunderstorms. 600
thunderstrikes. Lightning strikes
in like the whole day.
Yeah.
It was like insane. That. Lots of downpours. She says to this man, she's like, I bought some shoes here yesterday for my daughter. And she's just been out in the storm.
Oh,
and
the colours come off.
And
glue's come loose.
She fell over.
The stitching perished.
No, she said, they are soaked right through. And I'm like, the shoes are wet. I'm like, and in my head, I'm like, what are you like?
You put the newspaper in and hot water covered them.
What do you want from this man? And he's like, and I'm like, this is great. What's he going to say to this? Because the customer's always right. And he's like,
not in this case. The customer's a moron.
I know the customer's a moron. And he's like, really confused. He doesn't really know what to say. He's like, well, they're fabric. So, the rain can get in. And she's like, oh. And at that point, I leave the store.
So was she looking for a new pair?
I don't know.
Was it, she bought them yesterday?
Yeah.
I was him, I would have chucked a spanner in the works. I would have been like, well, how do I know these didn't get wet at home?
All right, okay.
But it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
But it's arguing people who put forward ridiculous points often don't know what to do with a counter-ridiculous point.
But it's no more ridiculous than going back with a pair of jeans and saying, these got wet in the rain.
Yeah. Or I've had these for 3 years. And these got wet in the washing machine.
Like, what did this woman want? Like, that's ridiculous.
What did she walk away? Was she like, don't have your rain right of refusal.
Yeah, you didn't buy gumboots. You bought running shoes, basically. Sometimes
we checked them in the rain. They got wet. I misconstrued what rain check meant.
Sometimes I wish that Fletch did work in hospitality so that he could deal with it just for our entertainment.
I wouldn't last a day or a week.
You're not a violent man, but I can imagine it would make you a violent man. God, you're angry, but it would push you into violence.
I remember when we went to, because McDonald's and McCafe sponsor the show. Thanks for sponsoring the show. Mark that down. That's today's one. It's meant to be seamless.
Sponsor of the show. I mean, I don't know. I've been doing this
for
a long time.
I've
got no idea.
That's two. Mark that one down too. So anyhow, but they let us go on the drive-through, and that person was really rude to me. And I had to bite my tongue and remember that I'm working, you know, for McDonald's and I've got to be nice and friendly.
Yeah.
McDonald's member is, that's three. Right there, one down two.
But I had to bite my tongue because I wanted to unleash and say, don't be so rude. Listen to yourself talking. Like, they really snapped at me. What? I was like, I didn't deserve that.
I thought we should do to that person who was rude was leave the lid of the coffee off a little bit so it looks like it's on. So they go take a drink and hot coffee pours over them and then you're like,
Then they get scolded and then you get in trouble.
And then we're in trouble, which we didn't do, obviously.
I deny it.
It got me thinking, like, if you've ever worked in retail, you must deal with some absolute stupid questions. Like, this woman is like, what can I do about my wet shoes? Well, I don't know.
The end of it was they're wet. That's what happens when shoes get in the rain. And she's like, right, good point.
At that point, I left because I'd already lingered around too much. Like, I'd already got my stuff.
Had you popped an elbow on the counter and you're like, go on. I'm interested. I, for one, am interested to see how this pans out.
I'd like to chip in and weigh in on this convo. I would love to know right now, 0800-DIALS-9696. If you've worked in retail, what are the most stupid things customers have said or done?
We're talking about the most unreasonable requests you've faced when you're working in retail.
The stupidest things. Customers
come in and demand
or say
the world from you. Some text messages in to get the ball rolling. Got some calls. 0800-DIALS-NM. You can text 9696. I worked for an internet company.
Okay.
A customer rang. They were doing a new build and wanted the internet installed.
Yeah.
So when they finished the new build, the internet was ready to go.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I had to be the one to break them the news that there was absolutely no fiber install in this new subdivision. They said, well, okay, that's all right. That's fine. I desperately want the internet.
Yeah.
How much is it going to cost me? So I did the sums. It was $30,000. They had to pay for cable to be laid. They had to pay for the subdivision's install of the fiber network. They were like, you're absolutely kidding me. If I sign up for 2 years, though, will you waive that installation fee? Because I read online that you'll waive an installation fee as I sign a contract for 2 years. It took a long time to explain to them that was just a personal home installation fee, not rewiring a whole network.
Okay.
They were very, very angry with me and said swear words just before they hung up. Somebody else said they worked at a well-known female clothing outlet.
Okay.
And they sold a customer a bikini. They went to a black sand beach.
Yep.
Got black sand in the bikini, brought it straight back in and said, obviously this is a faulty one because I've got black sand in it. Well, that's no good. Have you tried washing it?
Yeah.
She said, no, it's got black sand in it. So
But you've been...
The manager, they were like, well, you wash it and then we'll see what we can do.
Yeah.
But this is also how bikinis work.
Yeah, you get sand
in the material. And they said, let me speak to the manager. The manager just gave them a new bikini, no questions asked. I was like, that's just...
I couldn't do that because she's in the wrong.
She's in the wrong.
She knew she was in the wrong. She was just
playing. Did she though?
Yeah. I'm a florist, read another text. People will bring flowers back in hours after they've bought them and say, well, these are no good. We're like, well, what's the story here? Well, so I purchased them. I put them in the car, left the car in the sun, went shopping.
And they wilted.
Yeah, and I took them out of the water because I didn't want the water spilling in the car. Like,
do you know how plants work? Amber, what's the stupidest thing a customer said to you?
I used to work in an all-you-can-eat meat barbecue restaurant.
Oh, yum.
And we had a set price for everything.
Yeah.
And we had a customer ask if they could only pay for half since they were vegetarian.
Can't blame them for trying, though,
can
you?
Were they with a big group? Because sometimes they get dragged along.
Well, you don't invite a vegetarian to an all-you-can-eat barbecue meat restaurant.
She's got bad
friends. You don't invite vegetarians to dinner, full stop. I'm big on a tapas, sort of a sharing plate, so I get to try a bit of everything. And because I'm the quickest eater, I'm always the first back for seconds. It's a great way for me.
Yeah.
Sure, don't invite. Oh, actually, inviting a vegetarian could be good as long as they don't demand too many vegetarian dishes because then you get more of the meat.
Yeah, right. You'd end up with a lot of bok choy at Yum Cha with a vegetarian at the table.
Hold on, bok choy.
They didn't get a half price, Amber?
No.
Was there even anything for them to eat?
Oh, yeah, we had a whole salad bar. They could have had all you can eat with that.
Just
suck it
up. Adamant to get discount.
yeah. All right. Thanks, Amber. Mary, what was the stupidest thing a customer said to you?
Oh, my God. So I worked in a hotel for like 10 years, and we had I have a lot of stories, but I had a guy come in the hotel absolutely lose. Well, yeah, he was staying on me because he came from a beach with his wife and says that he's outraged and wants a refund because no one told him that there's going to be fish in the sea and he can't deal with it and his wife's traumatized.
Wait,
his wife's traumatized because there was fish in the sea?
Yes.
And no one told him.
No one told him and we had no warning on the website of our hotel.
So I missed at the start. So where did you work?
A hotel.
A hotel?
A hotel near a beach.
Oh, God.
And this American guest, yeah.
Yep.
Walks in and says, I'm outraged, my wife is completely traumatized, there are fish in the sea and that's not on and you should have said that on your website because it's traumatizing and it's not cool.
You should have told him, don't worry, humanity's got this taken care of. In 50 years, there's going to be nothing but plastic in the ocean. And
brilliant. Thanks, Mary. Claire, what's the stupidest thing a customer said to you?
Hey, so I work in a vet clinic, and it's quite a cool procedure we do is a castration. So called men on the ear, but we remove the testicles.
Yeah.
So I explain to this guy, hey, look, we've done the procedure, testicles out, no more babies, that's great. And he looked at me and he said, how long will it last? And I was like, well, it was about an hour of surgery. He said, no, like the procedure, when will they grow back? And I said, no, they don't keep growing, like, they're yay big, and we take them out. And he kind of looks down at himself, in that region, looks at me and goes, but they keep growing. And I said, no.
Is he just growing more and more boy every year? Is he getting another set of balls? Is he rocking like a six-pack down there?
I don't think his were, but I said, no, dogs, don't go back, and this is it for life, and there'll be no more.
He knows that his won't grow back too, eh?
I don't know if he was a shower or a grower, but... He was certain his dog would get his balls back.
They're not teeth. You don't lose them at the age of 6, 7 and then they grow back again. They're gone.
Thanks, Claire.
They're gone. Some other text messages in. A customer bought back a bra. She said, I've owned this for 6 months. It doesn't fit anymore. And there was this really uncomfortable silence before my workmate said, have you put on any weight in the last 6 months?
No!
No, don't say that. And she said, maybe a little bit. And he was like, how much? So this is why guys don't work anywhere selling women's underwear, I'd imagine.
No.
But not only did it not fit anymore, it was stained and not in great condition. Wanted brand new product as she felt that was a problem.
Their fault?
We had a paleo beef and beetroot meatloaf.
Okay.
And a customer said, now, is this vegetarian? Because I don't eat meat. And we said, no, the beef part. And they're like, ah, yes, but it's paleo beef.
And they said, still mate.
Yeah. Paleo is just a word everybody slaps on anything to try to get a few more bucks out of you. So
true. NCEA exams today, science and Chinese.
Well, science this morning.
Yep.
Chinese this afternoon.
Yep.
God, I don't miss doing exams. So hard.
How far behind is China on like the time zones? Because that would be technically
what
you'd be doing Chinese in the Chinese morning. Because it's the Chinese time.
Sure, I don't know.
I don't know. Sometimes that's just how my mind works. Well, NCEA exams are in full swing now, and people are warning the people in charge of this are saying that they don't want any cheating this year.
Okay.
Last year, the NZQA, that's the New Zealand Qualifications Authority,
yeah,
formally investigated too, not just a light sort of like what's going on here, 338 students for breaking rules.
So they caught 300 odd cheaters.
338 were investigated, 326 were confirmed as cases of cheating, or what they consider cheating. That's up from 290 the year before.
What are the rules of smartphones?
No, nothing. Nowhere near it, mate.
Nowhere near it.
So of those 326 cases, 123 of them were people being caught red-handed with cell phones.
Okay. But yeah, not necessarily looking at them or just with them?
With them. 8 were using the cell phone dishonestly so they could directly prove that they had notes on that cell phone that would help them out. And a further 65 cases of students with notes in the exam. Up their shorts or dress or something, and they just pull the paper down. Or
on the other favorite one's the balloon. You blow out the balloon, write it on the balloon, then deflate the balloon.
Then you have to blow it up in the exam.
Yeah, you can't even tell. Listen, you just. That's how you do it.
No, but then they see you with a balloon in the exam.
Just put it under your
shirt.
Like,
just makes me happy.
Put it down under your shirt so you look pregnant and keep looking down your shirt and be like, it's just my morning sickness, because you can obviously see that I've become pregnant since the end of school.
Well, you write it on your thigh and you just hitch your, my dress up.
That's the notes.
That.
That's one of the notes. Yeah. That's writing it on yourself. Get you in big trouble. I'd go for, if you're going to go for a subtle cheat, I'd go for an earpiece.
That'd be so good.
Get mum, because mums don't want you to fail. Get mum on the Wi-Fi in the staff car park with an earpiece. She can just hear everything. You're like,
yep.
But you've got to whisper it because you can't talk in an exam. So you're gonna
because you'd be like, what is the capital city of that country?
And the teacher's like, shh, why are you asking every question out loud?
Yeah.
What are the themes in Othello that are still represented in a modern day society? Mum's like, oh, shit, we're in trouble.
I'm one of those people, though, that I have my headphones up real loud, so I'd have my earpiece real loud and you'd hear Mum.
Mum going, so racism is still a big problem in modern society as it was for Othello all those years ago. Someone's mum talking into an earpiece too loud? Who is that? I'll find you. Took the earpiece out, Carl. We've been busted. You can hear me saying this too, can you? Because you've taken the earpiece out and now it's louder than ever. Oh, God. Oh, no.
FVM, the podcast.
It's time to jump on a bandwagon, isn't it?
It sure is. It's one of my favourite bandwagons to jump on.
Like when the Warriors start winning.
Yep. Four wins in a row and I'll jump on the Warriors bandwagon. The Breakers, how many games in a row have the Breakers won? 7, James?
7 or 8, maybe.
7 or 8, yeah. So it might be time to jump on the basketball bandwagon.
It's the best thing to do, though, because that's when it gets exciting and that's when there's a chance.
Heartache.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of people are on the all-whites wagon at the moment, New Zealand football team who drew with Peru in Wellington last week. So now we're in Peru and we need to beat them to qualify for the Soccer World Cup, which, by the way, Italy missed out on.
For the first time
ever.
The 1950s or something, Italy have failed to qualify for a World Cup. And they have a tough
that
area.
That would be like New Zealand missing out on the Rugby World Cup. Or Australia. Like, that's insane.
Yeah, it's insane to think about. So we're in Peru, and they've actually taken Mike Pirro and Mike Peru to Peru.
Just for lucky charms.
Yeah, lucky charms.
Yeah.
We get a little bit superstitious in the game of football.
Yeah. But do you know what? The dirty tricks have come out because...
Oh, these Peruvian arms. I'm trying to think of a word suitable.
Sure. Well, no, it is dirty dog tricks.
It's really tricksy.
Because do you know what I was reading? It means so much. Like, they are crazy about football, like every South American country. It means a lot to the economy. So
yeah.
They are not taking this lying down. Like, they are really playing dirty.
So apparently the bus that took the all-whites from the airport to their hotel took twice as long as normal, just people like getting in their heads, a little bit of a psychological gather around in cars to slow them down.
The flight was delayed too, wasn't it?
Oh, yep. Yeah, that was flight mysteriously delay. Delayed due to some...
Mysteriously delayed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So my mother-in-law loved Peru when she went. She said it was one of the most hospitable countries she's ever been to. So
as long as you're not beating them at football.
As long as you're not a threat to their football title, it would seem. But it doesn't just stop with traffic and plane delays either. They've put curses on us. Listen. Snakes. They're putting snakes on us.
So they've printed out photos of the all whites, and this guy is rubbing snakes all over them.
Vamos Peru! Vamos Peru! Oh my god! Yeah, the all whites don't see this.
Full blown snake curses.
That's great. Was it the All Blacks or one sports team that were in Argentina and they did fireworks outside their hotel
to keep them awake?
What was that? Was that another football
really?
Game?
Really? To keep them awake? That's so cheap.
Do we need to ship in some elders and get a maktu put on this? Do we need to fight witchcraft with witchcraft?
Maybe yeah. We do. Maybe
snakes
we do.
With taiaha, a fierce curse from our homeland.
When is the game?
Tomorrow
our time.
I don't know
time.
Exactly
right.
When.
Okay.
But it's tomorrow New Zealand time.
And away goals count for more than home goals. So if we
do
win,
they?
Yeah.
One, so
we
if
win
it's,
1-0.
If it's 1-1,
we win.
We win?
Yeah.
That seems really stupid. Why don't they just make it?
Oh, because they're rubbing snakes
silly.
On us. I think it's called the snake handicap.
FEM. How many days from Christmas? How many days away from Christmas are we today?
I didn't have that little tab open as soon as our Christmas penetration has hit 100%, but it is currently 39 days away from Christmas.
Oh, I was going to say 40.
So yes. A lot of malls are starting Santa photos soon.
Yeah, Santa's like, going there.
Starting
soon or already started?
Where has already started?
We've got our first appointment with Santa this weekend.
Do you?
It's too early.
Yeah, Snow Planet.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Don't deny it.
And then S&C, Smith & Coey,
that's
Santa has a wash after Snow Planet and primps his beard, pops right. Into the barber, looks $1 million. And,
well, I've been getting tagged in a lot of photos from people that are living in Australia and friends in Australia because Westfield malls all over Australia are doing pet Santa photos. People's cats.
Oh my god.
People's dogs are already getting photos with Santa.
Oh.
Or they must have done like a thing where fame, you know, because a lot of Instagram famous cats and dogs.
Right.
They must
they
have
invited
them
early.
Along to kind of to get the word out there that it's happening.
Leo and could meet Santa.
I looked on the Westfield Australian website and pretty much every city.
Has
major
one.
Westfield's city in Australia are doing pet photo days.
Isn't that good for the pets though? Like pets are quite easily stressed, aren't they?
Oh,
like cats
I couldn't
don't...
take my cat along to like St. Luke's Westfield.
You need
it'd be freaking
Santa
out.
Santa to come to you.
Yeah,
with one of those mild grey backdrops,
right?
Or because that'd be a bit too much to ask him to carry his chair around. He's a busy guy.
Well, he'd have to bring the chair in, wouldn't he? It just wouldn't. I mean, Kaz is coming to work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he still freaks out a little bit.
So yeah, I think the heart rate gets up, a little bit of panting.
Yeah, I think the mall wouldn't be a good idea for him.
What if Leo does a wheeze on Santa?
Santa would probably be used to it.
Just wash it off and then the kids line up an hour later, don't they?
It's happening in New Zealand. You can book it.
No!
St. Luke's. Look here. So you'd have to Google your local...
Jeez, what are you listening to? Some bloody thrash metal.
Google your local...
Oh, but that's for dogs. That's Santa paws.
That's dog photos.
Cats have paws.
And you have to book it. Yeah, surely you'd be allowed.
No, but it says
cat.
Dog in brackets. Yeah. Are they being catist?
Oh. If someone's got a pet ferret,
can
someone with a pet ferret take their ferret along and make a scene? If they're not like, oh, we don't
it's
actually
an
have ferrets.
Too.
It's a pet and it loves me and I love it.
Oh my god, this is so happening. This is happening.
So yes, I can imagine Leo's going to go, but I don't
Are all the Westfields doing it, like Riccarton and stuff?
I guess you'd have to Google your local. I can just see.
Yeah, I can imagine some
Albany,
some high
New
country
Market.
Canterbury sheep these farmers bringing their sheepdog in to meet Santa or a get up on his lap lid.
So far, these are all Auckland ones that I can see. But most of them are doing it, so I guess you'd have to.
Because it's very easy to bring a dog to a mall, isn't it? But a cat.
Well, no, you're not allowed to take a dog into a mall.
Well, you'd have
to. That's another thing. Are they going to need a dog? Are they going to need a pet aisle?
Right, okay.
Because I don't.
That's why you probably have to book your time, because there's certain times for dogs.
Oh, yeah, like the ones here are 8 till 10 and then 6:30 to 8:30 on a Monday.
Oh, my gosh, this is the cutest thing.
Here's the text feedback on this.
Okay.
Lynn Moyle. No, that's just somebody. Telling us, someone's like, oh, my mall's got Christmas decorations up. Well done. Yeah, they've had for quite some time.
For like 2 months.
St. Luke's pet photos you have to book. Animates does this, apparently.
Do they?
They took their dog to Animates last year. It was far less stressful. That might be someone who works at Animates trying to get a free plug-in. Well, we've said Animates 4 times, so well done.
It's worked. You've done it.
Botany Town Centre are doing them this year, apparently.
Okay.
Pet Stop in New Zealand does Pet Santa photos. Animates did it last year, somebody else
have
said.
You got
lots
any
of pet shops
of,
do it.
Westfield's out of Auckland. Because I can't find
them. Bayfair Shopping Centre in Mount Maunganui do
also,
it.
Also, is the Santa good? Like,
what Santa? Do you mean Santa, is he wearing his good outfit?
Yeah, is he wearing his good outfit? Is what I mean.
Well, I don't know. You don't wear your best pants if you know you're going to play with pets, do you? Because you get your dog and cat hair on them.
Santa will need a lint roller.
I'd say Santa's definitely. That would be on his Christmas list.
Okay, well, look, that's a thing. I've obviously got to do this.
Okay, so yeah, there's heaps. And now everyone who's crazy about getting their pets photographed with Santa is messaging in, so heaps of them are doing. Today is the 15th of November. We're halfway there, and today's November is Joe's in a Rovember. A return from last year. Wasn't going to double down on any from last year, but the people have spoken. They love the fact that a whole lot of Joes called and we got pretty jazzed about it.
So we answer the phone one after the other and we just keep going until we run out of Joes.
And until there's an interruption in Joes.
Now, as long as your name has Joe in it, in the title, in your name,
you count towards our tally for Joes. Now, I checked. It was 8.
8 last year.
8 last year.
So we only need to beat 8.
8.
Okay, let's start. ZM, good morning. Who's this?
Joe.
Just Joe, or?
You'll be sounding plain and simple. What's your full name, Joe?
Full name is Joanna, but I go by Joe.
Well, you go by Joe because it's more casual. Of course you do.
Number one.
Joe. ZM, good morning. Who's this?
Joe.
2.
Brilliant. Just Joe, or is that Joanna as well?
Joanna.
From a couple of Joannas.
Thank you for calling, Joanna.
Joanna, la, la, la.
ZM, good morning. Who's this?
Joanne.
3.
Oh, yes. Brilliant. ZM, good morning. Who's this?
Joe.
Just Joe? Plain and simple, Joe, you're a Joseph.
Josh,
okay.
We're going to go to the scrutineers. What the lotto scrutineers do in their downtime.
But do people call you Joe?
Yes.
Who started calling you Joe?
My parents.
Oh, no, I'm going to accept it. They're not going to accept it because if your parents call you the name, then that's as good as gold.
Josh is spelt J-O-S-H.
Yes, yes,
so
correct.
We're accepting that?
We are correct.
Yes. Megan.
4.
We're at 4. Okay. This will be number 5.
ZM, good morning. Joe's in a row. Who's this?
Joseph.
We'll take
Brilliant.
It.
Oh, the pause.
What's that, Megan? 5.
That was killing
me.
ZM, good morning. Who's this?
Joe.
Yes! 6.
Joanna? Joanne?
It's Joanna.
Joanna. Brilliant. All right. Thank you, Joanna. That's lovely.
A purple Joanna, which was a popular drink in the late 90s, early 2000s.
Okay. So what are we at, Megan?
We're at 7. So we need 3 more to
beat last year. ZM, good morning. Who's this?
Joe.
Hey!
Yes. Brilliant.
I love that everyone says Joe.
Are you a Joanna as well?
No, Josephine.
Oh, you're right. That's classy.
That's good, isn't it? Okay. Thank you, Josephine. ZM, good morning. Who's this?
Joe.
Brilliant.
What's the last part? What's the last part?
Jody.
Oh, that's our first Jody,
that's
too.
That's our first Jody. Thank you, Jody.
That was number 8, by the way.
ZM, good morning. Who's this?
Joe.
Pause the music. Pull it down. We need to get.
What? Sorry. Say again.
Joe.
Jewair.
What whereabouts is that name from, Jewair?
It's a
part French, part Arabic.
Right, okay. So Jewair. So people call you Joe?
They call me Joe, they call me Jay, or they call me a lot of things, but Joe mostly. Joe.
So New Zealanders, so you're a Joe because New Zealanders had problem saying a name Jewair that they didn't know from their birth, basically. You've become a Joe by default of New Zealanders' laziness and unwillingness to accept.
He doesn't have a slave of his mates that call him Joe.
My neighbour calls me Jay.
All right, so people call you Joe.
You're a Joe. Yeah. It's a good one. I like when people come to the country and they're like, I'll make it easy.
Okay, there we go. So that's
nine.
So we've beaten Joe's in a row for last year.
Yes.
Oh, how many more can we get? Can
easy.
We do?
This is like a bloody walk
around
the
block. Okay, well, try and go faster. ZM, good morning. Who's this?
Joe.
Okay, like, that's it?
Sure, for Joanna.
Joanna!
Oh, yeah, that's nice. I love the Joanna.
Thank you, Joanna. ZM, good morning. Who's this?
Joyce and Josephine.
Is that two people, or is your name Joyce Josephine?
First middle name.
Joyce Josephine.
Is that two Joes? Are we doubling down? Is it a double Joe school?
We can't count that as
two. It's a one Joe school.
Producer Caitlin, can we count that
as
two?
Is that a double Joe school like on Scrabble?
No, it's just one.
Just count that as one. Okay. Thank you, Joy Josephine.
What's our total here, Megan? What are we running at now?
11.
Gosh, we're doing well.
We're doing well. ZM, good morning. Hello, Joe's in a row. Is this Joe?
Hello?
Hello,
this is Joe.
Hello, Joe. That's brilliant.
That's 12. You're our 12th Joe.
Thank you, Joe. RZM, good morning. Who's this?
This is so stupid.
It's got to win soon, doesn't it?
No, I don't think it does.
Hi, Joe.
Hello.
Are you a Joe?
Yes, I am. I'm a Joe.
Wait, you're not the Joe that called before.
No.
Oh, we can't have double Joes.
We can't have double Joes.
We can't have repeat Joes.
We can't have this many Joes listening,
surely. We want freshly squeezed virgin Joes.
thank you, Joe.
Or a hot cup of fresh Joe.
Joe, good morning. Are you a Joe?
No one knows if we're speaking to them, Joe.
That's true.
Because they think
we're just saying Joe, that could be any of them.
Is this Joe? Hello?
Jody,
yes!
Which is a Joe. Do you get Jodes a lot?
Yes, I do.
Jodes and a bit of Joe.
Thank you, Jody. Thank you.
All right.
Good morning, ZM. Is this Joe?
Are you there, Joe? Joe. If your name's Joe, say yay.
No.
We lose them? Are they gone?
No, they're gone. I think we're running out of Joes. Good morning, ZM. Is this Joe?
This is a Johansson.
Johansson. Now, is that a first name or a last name?
Our last name is Johansson.
We'll take it.
Yep.
And people call me JoJo at work.
Oh,
they call you JoJo.
They call you JoJo. Yep. That's fantastic.
Yep. Okay.
Okay, so how many are we at, Megan?
That was number 15.
Oh, my God. 15. We've doubled last year's effort.
Can we go 16?
No, we haven't. Yes, we have.
Good morning, ZM. Is this Joe?
This is Joe.
Joe, good morning, Joe.
Good morning, Joe. Fantastic. Thanks so much, Joe. That's just great. Joe's in a row.
Joe's just taking a little time out of her day.
ZM, good morning. Who's this?
Hello.
Hi, who's this?
This is Billy.
Billy Joe
Armstrong from Green Day? Or?
Oh, not quite.
Do you have Joe in your name at all, Billy?
No.
What are you ringing for, Billy?
Oh, Billy, you've ruined Joe's in a row.
What'd you do that for, Joe, Billy?
I was ready to request the form.
Oh, Billy! All the worst people in the world! Boom! Boom! You've ruined Joe's in a row, Billy!
Joe, I'm only getting to 20 magical Joes!
Oh, no.
What song do you want?
Really bad, yeah?
What song do you want?
You should feel bad, Billy, you piece of shit!
Oh, God, Billy, you've made him wild. Come on! Hey, I tell you what, though, we've beaten 8 last year. How many,
we
Megan?
We doubled it, 16.
16 Joes in a row.
Oh. What song do you want, Billy?
Say Imagine Dragons.
The Rockstar. Post Malone.
Oh, okay. I was expecting you to say Creed or something. You're upset now, aren't you, Vaughn?
Oh, it's...
These things happen.
They do. We
should
last
have known
year's.
If we answered the phone long enough, we were going to.
It was
going to
happen.
Request.
Yeah.
We're playing silly buggers.
Yeah. I'm just surprised it wasn't. Can I have a free soda? Deals and CDs anymore. Today is the day that the results will be told to Australia on their non-binding postal referendum, which is a mouthful for. Where they spend $126 million asking Australians if they're ready to move out of the Dark Ages, effectively, and let people, regardless of their gender, marry the person that they love officially on paper.
Yeah.
So they call it a postal referendum, and I didn't know this, but it is essentially just like a questionnaire because it has no legal binding.
Yeah.
I thought at the end of this, if they voted yes, then it would get changed.
No.
So whatever happens, they don't have to do anything about it.
Correct. They've spent $126 million to and used an archaic system of I don't know, people casting their vote, like the postal referendums, well out of date. That's why they don't do them anymore.
I think we spent about $25 million on the flag, the whole flag thing.
That was correct.
And we still didn't get...
$25 million New Zealand dollars versus $126 million Australian dollars on whether or not people should be able to marry the one they love if they are the same gender as them.
So we'll find out today, New Zealand time at midday, what the result is.
I've got one of my very good friends is gay and she lives in Australia. She came home to New Zealand to marry her partner because they wanted to have a wedding, much like every little girl. She grew up hoping for a wedding day. And so they came back to New Zealand. They were like, well, we're not waiting for this bloody country. They could
take
forever and a day.
A lot of Aussies haven't they? Do the Queenstown wedding.
Yeah.
But when they go home, then? The minute it's not recognised.
Correct. It's not legally recognised as a marriage. You and I could meet one day, Megan, and get married the very next, not even knowing each other's last names or what way we put the toilet roll on the holder in the bathroom, which we all know is divorce material.
Could you televise that and have an absolute train wreck?
You could 100% televise it and have the drama and everything pulled to pieces. That is a legally binding marriage. When Australian contestants of Married at First Sight get married, that's a legally binding marriage.
As long as they're
My friend has been with her partner for like 6 years. And just because they're the same gender, they've lived together, they actually love each other.
Yeah.
Still will not be officially recognised by the government that they pay for.
Yeah.
Through taxes, etc. She said, when this is all going on, there's a lot of really good positive feeling about this for gay members of Australia.
Yeah, because they reckon polls are about 60% yes.
And they said it's so supportive and the love of the yes and the loving nature of it all. Like, when I was in Sydney recently, we drove through, is it King's Cross? Is that the big...
Oxford
Street and everything. And it was like, yes, and rainbow flags. It was massive. And I was like, this is fantastic. The taxi driver said, oh, this is like the gay neighbourhood, a very gay-friendly neighbourhood. Right. You know, as good as this is, there's been areas that have been...
The opposite.
And I was like, why? Like, what do people get out of it? And he's like, I couldn't tell you.
That's the thing I don't understand. Even if you don't understand, like, gay people, who cares? It's not your life.
I know.
You don't have to understand it. You just have to let them live their life.
Take it from a country that's got it now. Nothing bad happened.
Well, people expected us to be swallowed into a fiery pit of hell.
Yeah.
Didn't they? It didn't happen.
Well, they tried with the earthquakes, but we were like, no, you know what? We're fabulous. We're all sticking together and we're staying up here, Satan. So my friend said, you know, as much as it was like really good feeling around Melbourne, one day, and when she told me this, I was like, actually... quite upset for her. And I was just like, this is terrible. I don't know what my daughters, you know, where they're going to sit on this when they get older. And you've got friends, you've got sisters, we've got families, we've got gay friends.
Yeah.
She said she was having a great morning. She had the day off work. She had a great morning. She went and got her nails done. She was feeling good. She went and got a coffee. Everybody was surprisingly friendly. She's like, this is one of those days that you just feel, you know, feel good.
Yeah.
She walked outside. Some asshole had paid a skywriter to write vote no in the sky.
With a plane.
With a plane, with one of those ones that leaves behind like a smoke trail. Say no, it said. And she said instantly she went from a day where she hadn't felt any prejudice, any hate, any bad feelings towards her, surrounded by, you know, good vibes and a feeling that it was going to be yes, to see that somebody with money had purchased that. And unfortunately, in the area of like politics, money can equal influence.
So and why, like, she's not doing anything to affect them or hurt them.
No, they've just gone out of their way
just
to
live their life.
Yeah, exactly. And she said inadvertently, she doesn't know who that person was. Like, if it's a business owner that she has, you know, she's like, these people who are inadvertently funding these people to rain hatred on other people's life, you know? And it blows my mind that Australia is so close to us and, you know, our level in many ways. And you know, there's ways that they're better than us, you know, in various areas. But that is just archaic
and moronic. And straight people have been ruining marriage for a long time. I'm up to number two.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Who am I to say no?
You might even have three. Who knows?
Kardashians.
Yeah.
Married at first sight. People married at first sight.
Come on.
Radio Everything. Stations.
Yeah, oh, my God. We're the worst. Ban us from marrying people legally.
Well, let's see how that goes. Midday
today. We can only
today.
Hope for the best.
Yeah.
Fact of the day. Today's fact of the day is about the infamous rocket countdown. You know, like your NASA's on the thing.
Yeah, it's like T-minus one.
Yeah, T-minus, and they're like, you ignite it. And then you may have seen it if many New Zealanders go to watch a space shuttle launch, or maybe you've seen one online. There's this massive clock that's like a huge digital clock.
Like a marathon clock.
Correct. Like a really, really big marathon clock. And that displays the countdown and everyone countdown. And in the rocket control room, they do a countdown as well. They stole that idea from a 1929 German movie.
Really?
Prior to that, granted, they weren't launching space rockets to get to space, but they were launching rockets, you know. It was the start of the rocket age, and they were launching various things to see how it was going, and they'd always just be like, and ignition. And it would start.
Oh, they didn't give a warning.
No warning.
I suppose, what is the point of the countdown? They're ready to go, right?
Yeah, well, everybody knows what's happening. They're like, everybody ready? Steve, you ready? Yep.
Yeah.
Lucy, you ready? Correct.
What is Lucy's job?
Well, because she's a girl, could she possibly be doing with the rocket?
I'm just an engineer.
She made the rocket.
Hidden Figures, okay?
I love that movie.
Engineers.
That was great.
That was such a good movie.
It was
movie.
A good
if
movie.
If you've not seen Hidden Figures,
so good.
Must.
Get yourself some Hidden Figures.
Yeah.
And I think Janelle Monáe,
who we probably know
as a singer more than an actor, was a phenomenal, was a standout performance. Mm. Anyway, in 19...
thanks, Kate Rogers.
You're most welcome. In 1929, Fritz Lang made a movie, and Fritz Lang had a series of pretty like boring movies in the silent age, and then everyone's like, "Don't you know, Fritz, the movie's got sound now." And he's like, "Oh, something else to think about for old Fritz, oh." But in a German accent, because he was... A German filmmaker.
Yeah.
And he adapted a science fiction book where a rocket landed on the moon. People were living on the moon.
Okay.
And he adapted that into a movie.
Right.
And they said, we've got to make the most of the sound that we've got now. And we want it to be dramatic. We want sound to play a role. So he was like, what can we... We could have like a big dramatic countdown and like the numbers come up on the screen and like everybody's watching and it's really tense and then it stops in a low rumble of the rocket and they're like, fantastic, we'll leave this with you, Fritz. And he made the movie, and then NASA apparently wasn't that great. It was kind of okay, but afterwards, NASA were like, that was good.
That was cool.
I got goosebumps. My nipples were hard.
Okay.
It was like, oh, well, come on. You work at NASA and you don't get a hard nipple in a rocket launch? You don't deserve your role in
NASA.
Working
there.
It's hot, is it?
What if it's when it explodes? You're like,
this big phallic. It felt like shaking. And you're like, and they're like, five. And you're like, four, three, two, one, blast off. And you're like, yes. And you've got stiff nipples. And Nigel's like,
please don't aggressively grab your nipples like that.
Nigel's like, have you got erect nipples, Greg? Yep. Should we ask Lucy? Don't ask. No. A little bit of little lad chat over here.
What are you guys talking about?
Nothing. Can I just say in a non-condescending way, Lucy, that you're a wonderful addition to the team. Sorry, that came across condescending.
Yeah.
Tell her what we were talking about to make her feel like part of the gang. Have you got hard nipples, Lucy? Me and Greg do. Oh, God, I've made it worse, haven't I? Oh, a woman in the workplace is going to take us a good 80 years to get used to this.
There was no HR in the 1920s, was there?
No, not a lot of time. Not a lot of time for it. So today's fact of the day is the dramatic rocket countdown that we're all used to before a space rocket launch was stolen from a 1929 movie.
Fact of the day.
There's a new fitness trend now. It's starting in New York, but it could catch on because it's called tipsy yoga. So basically,
tipsy yoga.
This has started, like, a legit yoga instructor has started this because they've said when you're drunk or when you've had a few drinks, you're more flexible. Is that just because you can't feel the pain of... So basically, they've started this yoga class called Tipsy Yoga, and it has an open bar with unlimited wine in Lower Manhattan, and only costs $30.
That sounds like a great preloading event,
yeah,
for a night really out. Does. But then you've got to go out in your activewear, but don't
that,
you?
That would never work in New Zealand.
Oh, not an unlimited $30 bar.
People would be like vomiting as you're doing like downward dog.
Good position to be vomiting in rather than like the one where you're looking up, you're tilting your head back up and doing a god, sun goddess or something.
I can't even touch my toes with my legs straight. Because I doubt a couple of Pinot Noirs are going to help me do that.
No, why can't you touch your toes? Because it hurts. You're like, oh, it's so tight, it's so tight.
Yeah, well, no, I physically can't do it, Megan. My body's too tight.
Yeah, but it loosens you up. Plus, you don't feel as much of the pain.
You just thought you're having enough.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. So they're saying it's really taken off. People
love
it.
So just that slight dulling of the pain makes you be able to stretch further.
It's like when you get drunk, you don't need a jacket.
Yes.
You know?
Or you can fall downstairs and just get up and be like, party on.
But it's like they say all your inhibitions are gone. You're not like self-conscious. Yeah. You don't care what you look like. You're just like getting into it more.
You get better at pool.
You were a couple of
but
games.
But that's a Goldilocks zone too, because you have too many and you get real sloppy at pool as well.
Yeah. So it doesn't say if anyone's been cut off or...
Don't they say as well, like, if you're learning a language, it's a little bit, you kind of recall a few more things when you're drunk?
I think you've got a bit more confidence to just give it a blast when you're drunk with learning a language, with speaking another language, and you just kind of just give it a shot rather than... You know, when you hesitate and you worry and you stumble about it, if you get a bit of a roll on, then maybe you're better at it. So what I'm drawing from this, apart from driving, most activities are better drunk.
I think that's the general motto of New Zealanders.
I'll drink to that. FEM.
Leoma, what's your story for Last Calls today?
Good morning. A couple of years ago, I went on a first aid course with a new colleague, and the lady was lovely. She was in her 60s.
Yep.
And you know at the end of the course when you have to do the wrapping with the bandages and stuff?
Okay.
The task was to pretend like her collarbone was broken and I had to wrap up her shoulder nice and neat.
Oh, okay.
I was doing my thing, and as I was wrapping it up, I asked her whether she was okay because she started shaking, and I realized that she was laughing and that I actually wasn't taping up her elbow, but it was actually her luscious breast that I was taping up.
So you went around the shoulder and under the breast?
Yes.
Of the 60-year-old lady?
Yes, my brand new colleague.
I mean, if it went down to the elbow, probably chances are if you bandaged it, you could have got a bit more perkiness back.
But one's hard and pointy and one's hard soft
and pointy. You don't know that it was hard and...
And she's older, so they're quite squishy.
They sag a little.
Her elbow.
Well, yeah, even when you're older, you sag, don't you?
Yeah, your bits gets a bit softer. Yeah.
Well, at least she was laughing.
I thought I was doing a really good job.
Yeah. Brilliant. All right, wait there. We'll vote in a sec. Janine, good morning.
Hi there.
What's your story for Last Calls today?
So this was quite a while ago, back when I was about, 18 or 19. I'm a hairdresser.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And basically worked in a salon and was fully booked that day, had lots of clients coming in, and I noticed one of the bookings was a regular client that comes in that I quite fancied.
Oh, okay.
As you do, bit of flirting when you're a hairdresser. And so he came in and, yes, I'm sort of like thinking, right, what can I talk about to look like I'm knowledgeable and up with the play and know what's going on these days?
Mm-hmm.
So it was around election time.
That was one of the rules of being a hairdresser, no politics.
Well, no, don't talk about sex, politics or religion. Yep.
Okay.
Anyway, I thought I would, wanted to come across, you know, like I was up with the play and knew what I was talking about.
Okay.
So, I thought in my head before I was going to say what I was going to say.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes when you do that, you get the last bit of the words that you thought and the first bit of the word mixed up and it comes out.
Yep. Do you? Okay.
You do. So in my head I kind of thought, right, I'm going to say to him, what do you reckon about the elections?
Okay.
But then when it actually came out of my mouth, all that came out in rather a loud, direct voice was the two words kind of mixed up, and all that came out was the word erection.
What do you think of the erection?
And I looked at him and just said the word, like really.
Did you just yell erection?
Well, I don't even think I said, what do you reckon about the. I think it just came out and I said, erection, like it kind of got mixed up. What do you reckon? An election ended up erection.
Oh, no. Okay.
And I looked at him and went bright red, so mortifyingly embarrassed. He went bright red. Then we just burst out laughing, like nervous laughter, like so shockingly embarrassed. He actually took it really well and he whipped the cape up and he goes, no, I don't.
Oh!
but he was laughing as he said
bold move to whip up the cape, unless it had a chance to tuck it up and hide it a bit.
Did you ever get to go on a date with this hottie?
No, but there was definitely always a lot of flirting going on.
Oh.
But he took it very well and he continued to come in as a client, but it was just, awkward and embarrassing.
That was all it was ever meant to be.
All right, let's vote the Tribal Council for our favourite story.
No.
Today for Last Calls. Janine, the embarrassing haircut / erection has won you today $100 free fuel. Congratulations.
Woo! Awesome. Thank you.
ZM's Fletch, Vaughn and Megan. The podcast. For more, catch them every weekday from 6.